Hello and welcome to this podcast from the BBC World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media.
Hello, you're listening to the Witness History Podcast with me, George Crafer. Today, we're going back to the Cold War between the Communist East, led by the Soviet Union, and the Capitalist West. An agent has been feeding the US's Central Intelligence Agency top secret information for the last 10 years, but he's getting closer to being found out.
Every time you're behind a closed door, think of somebody suddenly knocking on that door. And it could be your friend asking to go out for a cup of coffee. It could be your wife calling to say, bring something home for dinner. It could be any one of 1,000 things. But at the end of that list of 1,000 things, there's always that one last knock that could be your entire lifetime gone.
This story begins in 1972. During the Cold War, Poland was part of the Warsaw Pact, an alliance of countries that would fight with the Soviet Union if an armed conflict started. Ryszard Kuklinski, a married 42-year-old Polish army colonel, is on a surveillance mission in Northern Europe. When he gets a moment alone, he writes this letter addressed to the US Embassy in the West German capital, Bonn.
Dear sir, I am sorry for my English. I am foreign man from communist country. I want to meet secretly with US Army officers. I have not many time. I am with my comrade and they cannot know.
Ryszard Kuklinski was completely convinced that his country was occupied by the Soviet Union. He met with two individuals who were dressed as army officers. However, they were CIA individuals.
That's Aris Pappas. During the 1970s, he worked for the CIA, analyzing the intelligence received from agents.
His initial intention was to provide a basis for creating an underground movement, in effect, that would have an opportunity to turn over the Polish government, which at that time was a puppet government working essentially for the Soviet Union. The CIA officers who were present indicated that we had no interest in creating an underground movement in Poland, but in fact, you know, would prefer that he used his access as an individual to provide his services.
Ryszard went back to Warsaw, the capital of Poland, with the new code name, Jack Strong. He began collecting highly classified documents that would land on Aris's desk.
He would come across documents that he felt that he should send to NATO, send to the West. He would either photograph those things with a small camera that he was given or take copies of it with him from his office to his home and take photographs of the documents there and bring them back the next day. Once he had accomplished a roll of film, let's say, full of classified documents or images of classified documents, he would then make a chalk mark on an agreed-upon place in Warsaw. A CIA officer from the embassy would be driving past that place on a daily basis to determine whether or not that chalk mark was visible.
As the years went on, Ryszard's position in the military kept rising, and so did the quality of the intel he was supplying. He was giving the CIA the specifications for more than 200 advanced Soviet weapon systems, the whereabouts of secret military bases, and even plans for an invasion of Western Europe.
He had come across some documents that he wanted to take home to take photographs of, very, very sensitive documents. What he did is he put them in an envelope, he put them in his briefcase, and was leaving the General Staff building at the end of the day to go home to photograph the documents and bring them back the next day. He wasn't paying attention. Those would have been his words. He wasn't paying attention. And so as he was walking through the corridor to the main building, he smacked in headfirst into a column and his briefcase dropped to the floor and popped open. And all of these incredibly sensitive documents went flying all over the floor and into the air in the foyer of the General Staff building. All of his friends who were with him immediately got down on a knee and started helping him scrape these papers together. If they had even looked at the document they were picking up from the floor, they would have immediately have had to turn Richard in.
In 1981, the Soviets were preparing to impose martial law in Poland to suppress the popular trade union movement Solidarity. Ryszard was one of the few people aware of the plans and on the 15th of September wrote this letter to the CIA.
I think my mission is nearing the end. The data could easily reveal the source. Long live Free Poland. Long live Solidarity, capable of bringing freedom to all the oppressed nations. Jack Strong.
Richard was called to a meeting of the general staff, of the Polish general staff. Richard was one of the last, if not the last, to show up. And when the meeting started, the general indicated, "Gentlemen, I have terrible news for you. We have a traitor in our midst." And of course, that's shocking to anybody that's listening. You can imagine how shocking it would be to someone who is basically an agent, has been an agent for 10 years, has been waiting for that knock on the door. And here, in verbal terms, was that knock on the door. He was preparing through this whole discussion to leap up, grab somebody's gun because some of the Polish officers were armed, at the very least jump out the window and try and kill himself because he didn't want to be subject to the kind of interrogation and punishment that he'd received from the Polish services or the KGB. And as the meeting went on, it became clearer and clearer that while they knew they had a problem in terms of leakage of information, they didn't know who was providing it. When the meeting was over, Richard immediately went out and put a chalk mark someplace in Warsaw, that marker having been pre-established not as a dead drop, but as a signal from the West and the CIA that Richard was in trouble. He may have been exposed or was about to be exposed, and that they needed to put into operation the plans to get him and his family out of Poland immediately.
Later on that evening of the 2nd of November 1981, Richard wrote the following message.
"It is known that CIA is in possession of the latest version of the martial law document. I urgently request instructions for evacuating from the country myself and my family."
My manager called me in and gave me an address and said I should appear at that address and talk to the people who were there. A very large security agent opened the door and recognized that I was the one who was supposed to be there and ushered me in. When I got in, I found two older men sitting in a fog of blue smoke. And it suddenly struck me like a thunderclap that I was in a room with the agent himself.
Aris never asked Richard how he got out of Poland and into that safe house in America.
It would be something that would interest me personally, but it just wasn't on professionally. It's protecting capabilities and opportunity assessments that may still be current and capable of saving somebody's life. Colonel Kuklinski, Richard, was a gentleman of the old school. He wasn't very tall, but he was one of those kinds of people, which I'm sure you've met and others have met, who basically played above his weight. He would fill a room despite the fact that he might have been the smallest person in the room. Most of the time when an agent comes out, he gets relocated in the United States or so wherever he's going to be permanently. And much like a detective and a policeman that has a new identity attached to him, a witness protection program kind of thing, they can establish themselves in the country and they basically live a second life. When he came out, we decided he would continue to act as if he was in place. We'd see him once or twice or more, three times a week, and spend time with him going over questions of operations, going over questions of decision-making that was being made by the Russians and by the Polish general staff. And as a net result of that, we became part of his social circle, if I may be allowed to say that.
In 1984, after Richard's defection to the United States, a court-martial in Poland sentenced him to death. Even after Solidarity came to power in 1990 following the fall of communism, the government left the conviction in place. It wasn't until 1997 that he was cleared of all charges.
He is buried in a cemetery in Warsaw. I visited the cemetery and it is extremely well tended, always has fresh flowers, and makes no bones about the fact that this is a hero of Poland.
Aris Pappas was speaking to me, George Crafer, for the Witness History Podcast.